Hi, you're listening to Talking About Organizations, a podcast about management and organization studies, where we read and discuss foundational texts and key ideas that inform the way we think about organized work today. Talking About Organizations is a community resource supported by our listeners. To find out how and learn more about our program, visit our website at www.talkingaboutorganizations.com. We also thank the Management Learning Journal and the European Group for Organizational Studies for their wonderful support. Now on with the show. Welcome to episode 70, focusing on Latin America studies in organization theory and management science, through a 2006 article by Eduardo Ibarra-Collado titled Organization Studies and Epistemic Coloniality in Latin America, Thinking Otherness in the Margins, published in Organization. This is part one of the episode where we will focus on Ibarra-Collado's critique of the state of Latin American studies.
Hi, this is Tom calling from Carlisle, Pennsylvania in the United States.
Hi, this is Leonardo calling from São Paulo, Brazil.
Hi, this is Pedro calling from Copenhagen in Denmark. And today we are very glad to have the wonderful Samantha Ortiz with us. Samantha is a PhD at UM Lyon Business School. She's also a colleague and someone very interested in understanding and researching Latin America, so it's perfect for our episode today. Welcome, Samantha.
Thank you, Pedro. So my name is Sam, and I'm calling from the beautiful and chaotic Mexico City.
So in this episode, we are going to try something a little bit different. It is part of our general effort to try to expand the canon of organizational theory. And in thinking of that, we have selected a text by Eduardo Ibarra-Collado, entitled Organizational Studies and Epistemic Coloniality in Latin America. And our goal here is to very much try to understand what does it mean to do organizational research outside of the center, so to speak, with a particular attention to what does it mean to study and produce knowledge about organizing organizations in Latin America. And this text is going to be a platform for us to try to think about the challenges, the promises, and the overall political economy of knowledge that is embedded in this challenge. So it would be great, Sam, if you could maybe get us started by giving an overview of the text.
Yeah, sure. And I just wanted to say also a few words maybe about the author, just in case people are not familiar with him. So Eduardo Ibarra-Collado is a Mexican scholar. He studied his undergrad, master's, and PhD in some of Mexico's best public institutions. He did his undergrad in administration, his master's in public administration, and his PhD in sociology at the National Autonomous University of Mexico. And his doctoral dissertation was a study of the transformation of the university system in Mexico. And throughout his career, he continued to work on the Mexican university system, but also to discuss issues of colonialism and knowledge of organizations in both Mexico and Latin America. He is recognized by many scholars in Latin America as being one of the people that did the most to kind of develop this project of a Latin American organization studies. But sadly, he passed away very young. He was only 55 years old. He passed away in 2013. So this text that we read for the episode is entitled Organization Studies and Epistemic Coloniality in Latin America, Thinking Otherness from the Margins. And it was published in the Journal of Organization in 2006. And this text is a result of Ibarra-Collado's long-term intellectual project around colonialism and his reflections on the way we think of and study organizations and organizational phenomena in Mexico and Latin America. Overall, I think the paper raises some important points on the problem of studying phenomena and organizations in Latin American countries without acknowledging historical, political, and social context, and sort of blindly importing theories that originated in other contexts through different through studies of very different realities. So the problem that Ibarra-Collado sees and the way he talks about it in this text is in terms of an invasion of our own thought and knowledge by what he calls Anglo-Eurocentric ideas. This means how ideas from the Anglo-Saxon world came to shape how we understand and treat our own realities. So he sees on the one hand a popularity of foreign theories and concepts imported to understand local phenomena, and on the other hand, a lack of locally produced theories and concepts that can be shared and used systematically and that actually make it to the global market of ideas. So in this article, he questions our lack of intellectual autonomy and our capacity to think and write in our own languages. See, the idea that is central to his paper is the notion of epistemic coloniality, which he understands as the conquest of identities through knowledge, the colonization of Latin American thought and ideas, and the imposition of foreign theories and concepts. And Ibarra Colado sees this as a problem not only in terms of an issue of pride and identity, but because of how we understand social phenomena shapes the type of solutions and strategies that are adopted. And throughout the text, he provides some ideas of where this problem of epistemic coloniality comes from or how it manifests. And these are things that we can discuss together. So he makes a critique of the notion of organization as a concept that homogenizes different realities and helps advance the notion that all that is different from the mold constitutes an imperfect expression. He also identifies these trends that he calls strategies for colonization. So the fact that many Latin American scholars are educated in the West and sometimes they come back to their countries of origin and they continue with this colonizing mission as he sees it. Also that many of the programs and syllabus that are used in Latin American countries to study organizations are important, mainly from U.S. business schools. And also he's very critical of this translation of classical text without a critical discussion that he believes that these texts come to be taken for granted. He makes a comment or a critique about the way these issues are researched in Latin America. So this idea of falsification and imitation of mainstream knowledge, and how sometimes the studies that get done are only about replicating findings in tropical environments and explaining away anomalies in terms of underdeveloped societies, and not looking at how inadequate these theoretical frameworks may be. So considering all this, I think Ibarra Colado argues that in Latin America we lack historical consciousness and reference points to understand and explore phenomena in its context. He believes that we are prolonging the stereotype of the imperfect South in order to fit in with our colleagues from Western organizations. He advocates for developing our own identity by means of recognizing local forms of organization and management. And he urges us to escape translation and imitation and embrace original creation. So personally, I love this text. I consider it a sort of manifesto for scholars who want to undertake the project of developing a Latin American school of organization studies. I don't know what you guys felt, but I do think it's a text that's mostly written for a Latin American audience. Just in terms of the references he makes to the conditions, dilemmas, and problems that a Latin American scholar might face. And so, yeah, I think, I don't know, I would like to hear what you guys thought of the text and maybe start with a discussion of this big issue of coloniality.
It really was a very, very interesting text because, I mean, this was... really one of those that was very clearly designed to be provocative, no question about it. I mean, I was really interested on his take about the very definition and meaning of organization. What he lays out is something that perhaps those of us who work kind of in organization studies and sort of use organization as just sort of like an umbrella term that means all sorts of different collectives. He breaks it out very explicitly and shows how we tend to apply it into this particular context in Latin America to encompass a whole series of different phenomena that arguably have really very little in common with each other. And so then the imposition of the idea of, well, a collective is a collective in a way, and we just put it under this term of organization, sort of in the context of what he calls the center, may not be that important because the variance of what constitutes organization is probably less important than it is elsewhere. Very clearly in Latin America, where we're talking about all sorts of different forms of collective, each of which has a central role to play in the culture, in the identity, all of the things of which he's talking about, these are really important contextual differences, and they only make sense if you do studies independent of the central canon. certainly from a understanding of or a definitional point of view, it's a very powerful statement. And it's certainly, while it's clearly aimed at a Latin American audience, I think it's also a shot across the bow to, hey, you can't look at us, you know, who we are, in the same way that you look at yourselves. And we've got to be a little bit more nuanced, a little bit more thoughtful.
So I have a thing to jump on that. I think that in a way, what Ibarra Collado starts, exactly as Tone and Samantha were saying, is that he shows how the very vocabulary used to describe the phenomena has a history, right? And in choosing certain concepts, we end up making choices, which are we are sometimes unaware of. And I think it is interesting that he points out that, you know, we know that the very concept of organization has a history, that people in, I don't know, 30s or 40s will talk more about particular types of organization, you know, churches versus associations versus firms versus public administration. But as this thing called organizational theory emerged, we started to look at organization in more structural general terms, right? But that already is also a consequence of a certain contextual change, right? Capitalism, neoliberalism, you know, all the things that Ibarra Collado is hitting at. That is this idea that there is a general way of organizing. There is something that is common across all different contexts. So that already has had to happen in certain parts of the world, mainly the US and Europe, for the very concept to emerge and to have a warrant, right? A particular angle. And I think what he's trying to show, and I think then is when the text is exactly interesting, because it enables us to see things that are taken for granted in other realities, that he's claiming that the context of Latin America, of course, has been subject to the same kind of, we can call them, tendencies, patterns, but has something that is unique. So therefore, if we bring the concept, we are bringing certain assumptions, which are going to, not capture some of the uniqueness there. But of course, we are talking about that, but we also need to recognize that organization is a double-edged sword, right? And we can talk more about that in a second, meaning that we lose some specificity, but we have started using that, and it's still the reigning concept, so to speak, for us, even in the podcast, right? Because it also gives generality. So there is this difficult tension, right, that all analysis need to contend with, how much to grasp the unique and how much try to go beyond and see the general.
Well, I was thinking, this is interesting, because I felt that, especially what Pedro said in the last sentence, what we have as unique, I got thinking when reading this test, because in a certain way, I think that he's trying to make something new in our organization thinking in Latin America. But we have a lot of anthropological research in Latin America that shows how people organize and how there are a lot of ways of coordination of action between actors, different from we are used to thought as canon of the European American way. So I think one of the strategies is this, it's maybe bring this to organizational studies in Latin America. That's right, is full of American examples and European examples. But at the same time, I think what's the difference of running a hospital here in Latin America and in the United States? I don't know if there are so many differences, that if this idea of organization is really different. And I agree with you, Tom, I don't know if there are so many different, but in terms of cultural, a kind of cultural turn that I think he's thinking, yes, there are a lot of examples of Latin America that we can grab that. There are logics of coordination and our different contexts of how our organizations develop in a different settings, different cultural ideas. And I don't know, I was thinking how we can... Yeah, if you are so different, if when we study, we will achieve many differences. So at the same time, that not to create a Latin America theory. I will keep this because this is something that I want to explore further. That because it's a provocative text, and he begins by saying that the era begins at one of the few Latin America theories that from Economic Commission for Latin America. So I think we can discuss this more later.
Yeah, definitely. I like what you said a lot, Leonardo. I think Well, the way I understand it is, I think there's all these studies that we have, like historical studies, anthropological studies, right? Even sociology, a lot of stuff on sociology that has been done that speaks to phenomena that might be relevant or that is relevant to organization studies. And then I think that's like one kind of basic layer. And then I think maybe the critique that Ibarra Colado is making or the problem that he's alluding to is that then you have this new fashion or this new discipline of management and organization studies of scholars that are being kind of trained abroad, especially at business schools, that come with this kind of a bit of a normative kind of idea of what an organization is supposed to look like. And then we also have studies being done in Latin American organizations with that perspective, which is a lot more normative, and it tends to focus on the problems and on the things that are not working in these organizations. And I think what he's talking about, and at least what I'm interested in, is this kind of all this stuff in the middle that's not being studied, right? Like this connection between all these historical, political, social, cultural context, and how that explains many of the things that now we have come to view as problems or pathologies in our organizations that might not necessarily be that, but they might just be providing for other functions, right? So I think all the stuff that's in between is what's not being studied systematically, and that doesn't have its own kind of theories, concepts, ideas. You know, it's like that we haven't developed a language that we share in order to talk about all that phenomenon.
Yeah, I wanted to follow up a little bit about Leonardo's example of the hospital, because this is kind of an interesting example, because of course medicine is itself is a very, very significant cultural artifact. How do cultures take care of each other? The concept of a hospital, of course, is a bit more of it's a Western construct, and it's something that is global. I mean, it's something that has sort of established a global concept of, you know, a hospital consists of such and such a structure, such and such type of people, functions a certain way, which in a setting that where that type of a model of what medicine means kind of makes sense. And then when you bring it into a different context where the whole concept or the definition or meaning of medicine is different, the hospital could very well be, even though it may be functioning okay, it may come across as kind of alien. Is this kind of in line with what Ibarra Colado is saying, that, you know, on the one hand, we have this structure that comes in from the outside and functions in a setting that may not be, you know, that comports to global standards, whatever that is, but doesn't mesh well with what is locally accepted form or a locally understood form of medicine. Am I kind of on the right track here?
No, just like a quick comment to follow on what Tom was saying. Yes, I think that's another issue, right? Like one issue is how we understand the phenomena that we already have here, which we, like Leonardo and I were talking about, you know, all this work that we can bring back. And then another is this, yeah, like importing these ideas of how phenomena should be organized and how it should function, and implementing, and then having all these kind of, yeah, like, I guess, malfunctions because it doesn't correspond to what's already here. And I think the problem just gets bigger, because then our tools for understanding why that's not working is still relying on those same theories that are based on assumptions that are completely different from the assumptions that we need that we have here, right? So yeah, I think the problem just gets bigger and bigger.
Right, and that's sort of like the analogy that he draws about, you know, the Latin American scholars going to Anglo-Eurocentric business schools would be like doctors or, you know, prospective medical students going to be imbued with the global standard of medicine, come back into Latin America, which sort of reinforces the existing model. So it's kind of like a good analogy or a good example of what he's talking about.
So I was going to rewind a little bit, right? And let's take this example of the hospital as our frame of reference. Because what I understand that Ibarra Colado is trying to do is to go back to what Leonardo was saying. Is like, first, I think he's trying to establish or organizational studies with this particular accent, let's put it like that, right? And it certainly can build upon all types of work that existed, but we need to be aware that a particular organizational studies field, it's new in the whole world because it's a new field, and it's particularly new in the context of Latin America. And he talks about that, right? That there for a long time, there was not even a perception of that as a particular relevant area, because a lot of what went into business development or public administration was very much mandated by the state and so on. So the sense of you need to understand how organizations function was seen as epiphenomenal, right? Because the real thing was politics and, you know, the economic conditions. So there is something about constructing this particular angle. And as we talked about, he wants to construct it in a way that is going to be able to deal with the specificity of the phenomena. And we talked about how the concept brings us a whole set of lenses with it, right? So to the case of the hospital, I think that first, there's something about recognizing that what exists as a hospital has come from somewhere, that there's a historicity and contextuality, and how hospitals, what we think as a hospital today was a construction, and there were different ways, and, you know, different ways to deliver healthcare, you know. So there is already something about understanding the particular ideas that have landed and have become global indeed, right? But there was a process through which they have become global. And in that process, some things got privileged and others got backgrounded and so on and so forth. So something about this genealogy of how these particular ideas have taken root. The other part of it is, even if you take a modern hospital in a big city, São Paulo, Mexico City, you know, Buenos Aires, whatever it is, the kind of operational problems and issues that the organization confronts with will have its particular set of challenges, right? That it would be different if you think about a hospital in Paris and one in Chicago, already given the way that the health system is working. Like, France is public and Chicago, it's much more decentralized, and there is no universal healthcare system. So the same thing is going to apply, right? You think about São Paulo or Mexico. And what Ibarra-Collado is trying to say is that for a long time, because the world is global today and capitalism is everywhere and we live in a very connected society, what exists with that as well is a tendency to try to measure efficient performance and all these kind of general ideas. And if you start from a particular frame of reference and you do not take into account that what exists is different, you end up going to measure what exists according to a particular set of criteria that historically has made Latin America organizations appear as lacking. And he's trying to go against that and say, well, it's not only that this is different and unique, but we need that because otherwise we are always into this eternal cycle that we see ourselves as lacking because we do not fit with particular ideas that have been imported, right? And that also prevents us from understanding what is the cause of some issues and what, as Samantha was saying, what are the kind of structural equivalents that be at play, what are the other things that might be working at, and therefore what kind of particular solutions are needed, which can speak to other realities, but, you know, we prevent ourselves from asking the question by the way the conversation is traditionally structured.
I agree with you, and one thing I think it's important to add is that he's talking in a kind of background of neoliberal policies, so this is important because in such a way it's a form that Latin American economies was open to the world, and all the criteria of efficiency was imposed, let's say this way, in a sense like Ibarra-Collado said, and this brought about a lot of confusion in most of the countries, because it was a time of the privatization process and all the state-owned enterprises was privatized or was forced to become more accountable and more competitive, and this has been a great challenge to Latin America, because I think we can say all over Latin America. I know more about Brazil, but this is something that holds for all the continent, because most of the company, the economy was composed of state-owned enterprise, so the idea of competitiveness was not that embedded in these companies. So in the 80s and the 90s and 2000, we start to see these companies face more challenges and more competitiveness. And the idea that we have to be efficient, we have to be more productive, we have to be more, I don't know, all that kind of, like Ibarra said, market rationality was put in these companies, and this changed a lot the face of the economy of Latin America. So, but we can say that if you are in a competitive age, maybe this is the rule of the game. I don't know if we can face this. And I don't say that he's denied that we have to follow these rules, but I think that maybe they're kind of inevitable. But maybe this is my institutionalist talking, so I don't know if this... maybe that's the challenge to this idea of institutionalism and all we are talking about institutional isomorphism, and we can add these ideas to the core of these thoughts.
Yeah, I kind of like you bringing in institutionalism because, you know, one of the things that kind of struck me is he's, in a lot of the article, he's really talking about some things that have some sort of a, well, they're things. There's organization, which is the sum of the people, the facilities, the stuff. And then he talks so much about identity and institution and durable social structures. The movement to identity is really what I think is key, because to this point, when we were just focusing on organization as a phenomenon, well, okay, we have a setting and we have a model that's being brought from the outside, and it's not ever really a perfect fit. You can sort of say that, well, you know, why don't we just muddle along? Why can't we just let things evolve and the structures will modify for the local flavor, whatever? Why is that an issue? Well, what he raises is the issue in my mind is the identity issue. He's writing it mostly for Latin American scholars, but I think it's I get a sense that he has a much broader audience than that. That there's a whole question about the identity of Latin America in the face of this globalizing society, which in 2006, at the time that the article was written, you know, globalization was underway, but it was not. A lot's happened in the last 14 years, let's just say. And so now, you know, as we kind of think, like, what do we make of his arguments about identity? I mean, how much of it is a problem? And is it really one where it's an unsolvable problem unless, you know, within the context of trying to meld with, say, globalization the way that, you know, it sort of happened? Or is it really there's a much greater need to, say, break with this paradigm and move in a completely different direction? What do y'all think?
I have a quick comment because I do not think he's writing for Latin American scholars. He's certainly calling on Latin America scholars, but he's writing for Latin America scholars, but he's writing against the broader establishment of organizational studies, right? In a way, he's writing against the way in which the very epistemic structure of the field has been one that has prevented or has been enmeshed or involved in the particular erasure or possibility of certain voices, right? So there is a sense of calling on the accountability of the discipline and what the way it is arranged. And he calls that very clearly, like how the very nature of academia is one in which the people that are privileged and are pride, so to speak, are the ones that fulfill and reconstruct and reproduce the idea that knowledge is universal, that the real one, that the center is center, periphery is periphery, and you should try to emulate as much as you can and converse in that vocabulary, right? To be a foot soldier, so to speak, of the establishment. And he's trying to call on that, to try to show the consequences of that particular arrangement, right? So there is a sense of also calling on the establishment and their responsibility and the way they have framed the conversation and the consequences that has generated, right? As we said before, the idea that Latin America is always lacking, the incapacity to create space for recognizing difference and so on and so forth.
Yeah, definitely. I agree with you, Pedro. I think, I mean, just even the choice of where he published this article, right? It's directed kind of to the, especially to the kind of critical management studies community, to a more international community, and the article has been picked up by a lot of other authors writing, you know, about Islamic organization studies or African, you know, I think the theme of coloniality is very strong, and it goes beyond just Latin America. And even also, especially in the first few pages of the article in the introduction, he does, I mean, even the critique on the concept of organization, right? Like, I didn't think that critique was particularly, like, just relevant to Latin American context. I think this idea of a term that can be used to name a school, a hospital, a public bureaucracy, and a startup, and they're all organizations, and you kind of homogenize a lot of their characteristics, and you impose a lot of assumptions on how they should work or should not work. That's a critique that goes beyond just the Latin American issue. And also the critiques he makes, for example, at some point he talks about the publisher parish culture, right? And how that doesn't necessarily incentivize researchers, especially from non-Western countries, to write and publish in their own language or in even indigenous language in some cases. I agree with you that it's for a broader audience in a way. I was going to say something else, but I forgot.
Maybe something about coloniality?
Yeah. Let me think about that. If somebody else wants to.
Okay.
Yeah, I got a good provocative question for that one. Because I think the term coloniality is itself worth discussing. Because it's, in a way, and maybe this is a little bit different in 2006 when it was written, coloniality, of course, stemming from the idea of colonialization, which in modern discourse treated somewhat pejoratively, it would be very, very easy to come to a conclusion that this is a some sort of a repudiation, what's being brought in from the outside, which I'm not so sure I gleaned from the article necessarily. He certainly raises a number of problems, but I wonder if we could touch a little bit on the choice of the term. Perhaps from one context that term may be taken a certain way, but it could have a different effect in other contexts, such as how it might be perceived in the center.
Can you elaborate?
Colonialism, you know, it's you can look at it as essentially that as an instance of a more general movement by which a majority dominant view influences other views. Okay. That transfer of dominant view can be beneficial or not beneficial. Certainly, when it comes to discussions about the colonial experience, then it's not seen as particularly beneficial. Well, I look at some of the other things like the Olympic movement or some other movements that were intended more or less to be a bit more beneficial in terms of intent to try to unite, or globalization has also been at its ascendancy, has been touted as something that is seen as a good thing. Now, coloniality, understanding how he's defining the term, the very use of the term kind of sparks up a potentially emotional response, given that, you know, the history that a lot of countries that were colonized and then subsequently gained independence would view that as sort of like anything associated with that word would view it through a negative lens, as sort of, like I said, a repudiation of what is being imposed. I wondered if that was intentional or if it just there was something about the use of that term that was particularly meaningful to Mr. Ibarra Collado.
I was going to say, so in the text, I think it talks about colonial difference as not only that people in the colonies are different, but they are inferior and need to be civilized, modernized, or developed. And, you know, when I think of colonizing in general, the dictionary would talk about the colonial quality or character, the fact or state of being a colony, right? So I think there is always this double sense, right? Coloniality is connected to the fact that there is a difference that is being made and being traced, and that is associated with the idea that in that difference there is a judgment of value, we may say, that those that are on the other side, that are the periphery, are lacking and in need of advancement. And, you know, there's a whole stories of how coloniality was justified and the idea that those people were like behind the evolution and they needed to, you know, be brought up to a sense of civilization. I don't think that the other things that you're talking about, I would not describe them as coloniality, but I would describe them as connections, right? Because, and you're right that in a way, since the, I don't know, since that people got into ships and arrived in Latin America and the whole colonial experience started, that is also associated, that is also, so that process is a mechanism into a bigger, broader, separate thing, which is exactly this expansion and broader connections or globalization, right? So there is indeed the role in which that history has played and transformed the world and created more connections, right? I see that is like the second is, so in a way I see coloniality in the second as a parallel process, right? That thing is what's also happening. But what Ibarra Collado is getting at, it's not the fact that we have a globalized world and connections are being made and, you know, the world has been reconfigured, but the fact that in that process, how it was done, it was through a particular set of ideas and a particular set of imposed conditions in which those that have been connected have been through a particular way.
Yes, I think just to add something that Pedro said, I think it's important to mention that I think he's talking against one of the schools of thought that make much influence in Latin America, that's modernization theory. And this kind of, I think he's seeing some kind of permanence of this theory that now in the business school and how the people go to the United States and Europe and come back to saying that there are a lot of traits that we lack and we have to fulfill this this need to achieve something, to achieve what's being made in America, North America, and Europe. So it's important that I don't know if he puts something like alternative to this, but he's clearly fighting against these methodological and theoretical ideas that we can modernize, we can be better in a certain way if we look to the north as an image and seeing ourselves as, I think he put in this way, a deformed phase of the development of society. So this, I think it's, he's against, very against this. And but important to mention that this kind of theories was very popular in Latin America in the 50s, 60s, and 70s. So it's 30, 40 years there of the studies saying that Latin America have to achieve certain stage of development and how we can do this. And there's a lot of studies saying what's lacking in Latin America and not what Latin America has as different. So he's putting this way, so it's a statement like, yeah, we have our identity.
So I think I understood now what Tom was asking. The whole premise of the argument, right, is that he's not only saying indeed, he's not relating to the concept of coloniality as a stigmatized thing, right? He's in a way, he's trying to transform that and say we should use that as the platform from which to rethink or think our ways of organizing our place in the conversation. So I think that is exactly what your finger is saying, right? So there is this other side that is trying to put it upside down. So, right, not, yes, see oneself as part of colonial heritage and embrace that, but to put things, as Leonardo was saying, upside down, not as a condition of inferiority, of lacking, but try to transform that and think from that. In a way, it's the movement that, you know, feminists have done with certain terms, derogatory terms, the gays have done with the concept of queerness, right? So it's like, take the assumption of this difference that has been historically been used to marginate one and, you know, erode one's conditions of existence, but to rethink that in a positive way. And from that platform, try to analyze and think what is that history has given us, what kind of challenges that are unique to that context and how that can be rethought and leveraged, right? So there is the, I think that the issue that coloniality changes in a way because it's using that in a positive, productive way. which is how post-colonial discourse, I think, usually go, right? I think that's the bigger conversation that is part of.
Yeah, absolutely. I think, I mean, going back to Tom's question of, you know, what was the intention of Ibarra Colado in using this idea of coloniality? I think, yeah, it doesn't mean to necessarily reject any of the theories and concepts, but to be very critical. So yeah, in line with what Leonardo and Pedro were saying, I think it's, and what, I mean, what coloniality is about, right? It's about going back and questioning what we have come to now accept as normal. And especially to look into the effects of that importing and implementing these ideas has had in our organization. So I have a good example by one of Ibarra Colado's colleagues. His name is Montaño Hirose. And he does a lot of studies on the implementation of, or the modernization of organizations, especially public organizations in Mexico. And so he kind of understands how, you know, you used to have these very like protected model of doing business or of organizing in the public sector that relied a lot of on issues like, you know, hierarchical relations and informal kind of trust and friendship and all that. And then on top of that, you implement all these new ideas about teamwork and strategy and goals and, right? So then you have all these phenomena. For example, I remember one of his works is on kind of workplace bullying. And he studies and he traces how it's due to the implementation of these two logics that just create these unwanted effects.
I don't have something I need to say, but I think that before we wrap up part one, maybe we could talk about what is the research agenda that Ibarra Colado proposes, right?
That's exactly where I was going to go. And I was just, well, you know, and that's a good thing to carry over to part two as well, because on the one hand, there's like, you know, what do you think of this? Is this the right agenda? And then maybe part two, we start off with, well, here it is 14 years later. What have we done? Let's just look at that agenda. I mean, he's got some very provocative questions, as he says, that we need to research. And I think we were already kind of touching in a way about the first one, about what has modernity meant for Latin America in terms of organization problems? Well, you know, you can ask the same thing just about here in the United States as well. But, you know, it's he offers a lot of food for thought that there is reason to believe that, you know, scientific rationality and all this other stuff is just, it's not the way we should be thinking in Latin America. So what's the alternative? What else should we be pursuing? Sounds valid to me, but what do y'all think?
So I don't know if I have a direct answer to what's the alternative, if not, you know, these ideals of kind of scientific management or whatever. But because I think that's kind of the part that he leaves open, and I'm not sure if we have come with a solution. But I do think there's a few things that can be taken from this article and from what he's suggesting that can orient how we do and present research. So this idea of that I found very interesting, and that for me it was something that I can take and try to put into my research, of being aware of the historical, political, cultural, social context and explaining it to the world. That's something, I mean, I do research, qualitative research in Mexico, and that's something that I haven't put particular attention to when I'm trying to write papers, right? Like explaining to people why this might be this way, or where these things that I'm observing in my data may be coming from, or why that might be particular to the context that I'm studying. Another thing that he mentions a few times and that I think it's very distinctive is the attention that we have in Latin America for social problems. Like everything has to be oriented to these big social problems, which I actually think it's a good thing, but then it's a double-edged sword because it tends to lead to more kind of macro studies instead of kind of going into understanding why things are the way they are. So yeah, these are just some of the, I mean, obviously there's also another thing that can be taken from this article is, you know, the need to write and publish and disseminate knowledge in Spanish and Portuguese as well as English. I don't think it means to just publish in Spanish and Portuguese, because then you don't have these ideas going to this global market of ideas. But it's like it's a responsibility, right, to be doing both, which I think it's I don't know, it's pretty hard when you think of it.
Well, to kind of go back on on the discussions about the research itself. I mean, I think one of the things that there's a particular book. I'm not going to say which one it is, but this is one of those classic books where it's a business tool, which is supposed to help introduce the world to global cultures and sort of puts Latin America and various Latin American themes inside a global model that says this is how you compare a Western culture versus a Latin American culture versus an Asian culture or an African culture. I mean, it's basically one of those kinds of tools. You know, certainly, while I wasn't necessarily trying to ask, has an alternative come up? I think it was more like, you know, what does it take to try to get us off of these types of models that are like ready solution, pick off the shelf, we can filter everything through it and come to a quick decision about how, you know, if we are going to land ourselves in Colombia or Peru or Chile or Mexico for the first time in our lives to do business, that we can get on the ground running. Because that in a way is one of the other problems, is that on the one hand, you know, we want to be more accurate, we want to be more clear, we want to be more focused on what we understand in the local context. And then there's sort of like the other side of it is, what about for those who would want to come in, who don't necessarily have the time to get into that level of depth, and we need to give them something to arm them with, how not to do something embarrassing or whatever when going to an unfamiliar place.
So this is, I think, a typical analytical problem, right? And I think it is the seduction of trying to compare apples and oranges, or where you trace the comparisons, right? And in trying to force a linearity or a direct comparability that doesn't exist. And we have a lot of better or more refined, gracious, elegant ways of thinking about these things, which, you know, do not compare one to one, but compare one to context, right? And context to context. Or to be very concrete, economists have used the Big Mac tool, right? Instead of just saying, oh, this is expensive or this is cheap, they try to find something that is a more like a meter. But in social sciences, you know, someone like David Stark that has studied the fall of the USSR and the emergence of capitalism there, has done great work in showing that we cannot understand one-to-one, but we need to understand what certain practices mean given the context that we're happening, and how understanding that, then we can look at the structure equivalence, different ways of solving the same problem, or vice versa. So there is something about that, right? And to the seduction of this Latin America is like this, like that, and Africa is like this, like that, I think that the only response is exactly what Ibarra Collado is trying to say, is understanding the context, as Samantha was talking about, right? Is not just saying someone does this thing, you know, I salute the person by, you know, kissing on the cheek in France versus a firm handshake in Mexico, but in trying to understand not just the act in itself, but what the act in itself is part of, and what does it mean in that context, and how, you know, do both can express familiarity or not? Are both appropriate for professional or not, or personal places? So it's this analytical effort to try to understand what does it mean or do something in a particular context. And in that history, try also to elaborate what are the other ways that exist somewhere else that are relatable to that, and in what ways. Which is all to say that sometimes easy solutions can be seductive, but they're not necessarily the most valid and warranted ones.
And that concludes the episode for today. Thank you for listening. We hope you enjoyed the conversation and found it valuable. If so, please consider subscribing through your favorite podcast service and you won't miss an episode. We also welcome your feedback, so if you liked or didn't like something, or have a correction or suggestion for us, please get in touch via Twitter, Facebook, LinkedIn, or our website, www.talkingaboutorganizations.com. Finally, we would like to thank some wonderful people for supporting the show. Sarah Audner, Leon Prieto, Hadi Shaheen, Marshall Reiner, Alice Barbosa, Thomas Roulet, Heiko Schmidt, Barton Friedland, Guldem Kara Mustafa, Roberto Bernardi, Marina Timmer, Bernard Hogan, Eddie Hunsinger, Fiona Knight, Peaks Craft, Timothy Paul, Vili Leidon Virta, Gabriel Van Bunnen, and Clara Lux. It's easy to support the show, and all you have to do is go to our website, where a donations button will greet you. Thank you for listening, and we hope to see you for the conclusion of this episode here on Talking About Organizations.